You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
It's Thursday. You know what that means. It's the Michigan Mailbag here on the Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. Got a ton of questions. I'm going to tell you off the bat, if you wrote a question and I don't even read your name, it's because I did not consider you to have a real question. I'm not going to answer, why do we suck? I'm not going to answer all those types that are just people just straight out complaining. I understand that you want to vent. I completely get it, but those aren't going to make it into the mailbag. Tons of questions, though. I don't know how we're going to get to all of them. Hopefully I have the energy, because I did not get a lot of sleep last night because I was too stressed over getting this PS5, and thankfully I managed somehow to get one on the 4 p.m. drop on PlayStation Direct. I will give a shout out to Andy Mack at Scott's Tater Tots, who is also trying diligently to get one through any means necessary. So keep the faith, keep the vigilance. If you're trying to get a PS5 or an Xbox Series X or an Xbox Series S, they can be got. I am now proof of that. Still in disbelief. All right, let's get to the questions. James Crudup at James Crudup 6. Leaders Invest, I should mention that. These are our Leaders Invest. Whether Michigan brings in a new coach or extends Harbaugh, what do you think are the reasonable expectations for the program moving forward? As much as everybody wants to beat OSU, I don't see that as particularly reasonable at this time. I agree, it's not. Ohio State is one of the best teams in the country. At worst, the third best team. At worst. But Michigan's got a lot of talent. I think you at least need to get back to where you were 2 years ago. So if Michigan does do that, then and brings him back, or brings in a new coach, either way, you got to get back to where you were at least in 2018, where you're going to be able to win against pretty much any team. Like, maybe if you face a Notre Dame or another, you know, top 10 type team, Notre Dame, you know, went to the playoff that year by virtue of beating Michigan, that you know, that one might be a one score game for or against, and that you'll probably win the rest of your games that in the regular season that aren't against Ohio State. I think that's that. I think that's the most important thing, is just at least getting back to where you can beat everyone on your schedule. I would throw in the caveat of the other top Big Ten teams. Maybe you don't win all of them, but you're at least competitive in them, and you have no less than 3 losses on the season, and that includes the bowl game. Right? I think that's the way that I would look at it. Josh Barr, Jadicky. Do you think that the one drive from McNamara created an actual quarterback controversy? It was nice drive with a couple really good throws, but then the following drives contained some plays I'm fairly certain Milton would have done better based on what we've seen. Thoughts? Listen, he was in garbage time, right? I mean, I think that he definitely provided a spark. I think the team definitely rallied around him when he came in. I don't think that means they gave up on Milton. I just think it was like, oh, Cade's in, let's... You know, it's kind of like what the offense did for Milton in game one, the entirety of game one against Minnesota. I think that the offense kind of was like, all right, Cade, you're in. This is your first shot. We got your back. Let's do it. But again, it's Wisconsin had a 35-3 lead. Anytime that you see, you know, this isn't like he came in and really drove them back. Like, yeah, they drove the field and they looked really good for one drive. But it's and at least you got to see a little bit of rhythm. But I don't think that I don't know that it's an actual quarterback controversy. I think that the competition is open in that sense, but I don't anticipate. I could be wrong. I have no inside info here. I don't anticipate that suddenly you're going to see a new starting quarterback unless Joe is injured. That's my belief. And we got plenty more Joe Milton questions coming up, so we'll get to those in a moment. My brother in metal, Michael Wolf at MWolf21. This week, what side of the ball would you like to see the most improvements made? And I think that's pretty simple, I'd say, defensively. It's kind of split, though, right? Because, like, defensively, they've just been a sieve, and, like, they just need to figure out how to get some confidence and, you know, kind of like they did last year against Rutgers, right? They weren't playing great offensively, and then they go up against Rutgers and put up 52. I kind of want to see the same type of thing. I know Rutgers is vastly improved. I'm not expecting 52 to nothing this time around, but I at least want to see the defense keep them to 17 or below. And I'd like to see the offense get 35 or above. That's what I want to see. But defense, I think it's more important. Offense just needs to figure itself out because it was so great in week one and has just been an absolute dumpster fire ever since. I mean, not a full-blown dumpster fire, but, like, you know, the kindling started against Michigan State. It really ignited against Indiana. And then it was full-blown dumpster fire against Wisconsin. Keep in mind, Wisconsin's got a really good defense. They went into that game with the number one defense in the country. I'd have to look to double-check, but I would imagine they probably held that spot after their second game. I'm going to guess that that's the case. It is. So Wisconsin's got a really good defense, and they've tended to. So just want to see that improvement on both sides of the ball. For Wolverines Wire, Trent Noop, please go read his three keys for Michigan beating Wisconsin. Not Wisconsin, Rutgers. Wow. Told you I'm tired. Didn't get much sleep. At Trent Noop, why do you like Sony over Microsoft? I know you know the answer to this, but you want me to say it publicly. It's the exclusives. There have been a couple times in which I was an Xbox guy. I started out Sony. I had the first and second PlayStations. And then I got an Xbox 360. Actually based off the fact that Halo, I know that's your game, that Halo looked cool as all can be. Because I went over to Thanksgiving to my aunt and uncles and my cousins were playing it. And I got to play a little bit. And I was like, this is so cool. So I bought an Xbox 360. I absolutely loved that. Then I switched back over to PlayStation and PS3 because at my old job, United Talent Agency, we had a employee raffle that I didn't even know about, but we were all automatically entered. It was really cool because Aziz Ansari, you know, the stand-up comedian and star of Master of None, Parks and Rec, he did a stand-up set and then did this employee raffle, and I got a PS3, and that was cool. And I remember the next day, this was at the holiday party. We were all, every assistant got insanely drunk because it was open bar and none of us had any self-control when we were outside of work. So the next day I was dead. And I remember I got the notification, hey, go pick up your PS3 from HR. So I went upstairs and I was in the elevator with this talent agent named Jason Shapiro. He was a younger talent agent. He represented a lot of, like, starlet types. Can't remember any other right now other than Catherine Winnick, but he was like, you gotta play Uncharted 2. It just came out. It's incredible. So I picked that up for when I came home for the holidays for those 2 weeks, and I was absolutely blown away. And weirdly, I didn't go right to PS4. I got an Xbox One off of eBay in 2017 for $100 because they didn't post a picture of it. They just posted a picture of the controller, so people thought it was just the controller and not the... So I was the only bid. He had no reserve. Started at $100. I got one for $100. And I stuck with that until about a year ago when I was finally like, you know what? I'm going to get a PS4 Pro. I want to play Uncharted 4. I want to play Death Stranding. And that was an exclusive. And that's why I stay with it. Is because the exclusives. And I know I'm digressing for those who aren't video game nerds like I have become in the last year. But I just absolutely love the exclusive between Death Stranding. Let's see, what other ones that were my favorites? The Last of Us series, Spider-Man, the Uncharted, of course. Horizon Zero Dawn is neck and neck with Red Dead Redemption 2 is my favorite game of all time. So yeah, it's that's why I covet the PS5 so much, and why I literally lost sleep trying to get one. All right, that was way too long to answer that, but I got into story time. Jimmy Whitner at Jimmy Whitner 1. What can we look for against Rutgers as a sign of improvement for the remainder of the season? Number two, in your opinion, will the season get turned around? I think it has the possibility of getting turned around, and by getting turned around, I mean finishing with a 5-4 record, which I thought was insane when I saw a handful. Shout out to Ethan Sears in the in his prediction in Scott Bell's newsletter. He predicted Michigan to go 5-4. I didn't think that that was even humanly close to possible. I thought at worst they'd be 6-3. I predicted 8-1 because I thought that the talent, despite the youth, was going to be a heck of a lot better. I thought the coaching was going to be a lot better, which is a big issue. So as far as what I'm looking for as a sign of improvement, number one, coaches putting players in a position to succeed. That includes the play calling, the schemes used on the defensive side. That would go with number two. I want to see growth in the defensive backs. And, I mean, honestly, I mean, it's across the board. I know that the pass rush is getting better and better. It's hard when you don't have Quiddy Pay. I don't know if he'll be back or not. Happy birthday to Quiddy Pay, by the way. I want to see the linebackers be a little bit better. I think the biggest sign is just having closer to a vintage Michigan game, where Michigan scores a lot and holds the other team to not a lot. Number two, in my opinion, will the season get turned around? It's going to pivot on this game, right? Because if they win 35-17, I think that was the 2017 score. I don't. If they lose, obviously not. If they win something like 45-10 or something like that, I think that they'll beat Penn State. If they play Maryland, beat Maryland, lose to Ohio State, and I think they got a good shot against whoever they play in the West at that point. Right now, I don't give them much of a shot to play whoever they play in the West, but that's where I stand as of right now in this. Isn't it funny how every single week I'm like, man, I'm keeping this first segment really short, and I never do. Nonetheless, we got a ton more questions coming up for you here in just a moment. But before we do, do you ever feel like you are always on? What do you do when you feel like you need a moment to hit that reset button, take a chill pill? With all the expectations that come with life, with social and what have you, expectation beyond 24/7. I mean, you need that moment to hit that reset button. That's when you reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. There's literally only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. You know, I don't drink anymore, but when I did, Coors Light was my light beer of choice. Of course, I drank IPAs, and the craft beers weren't what they are now. But nonetheless, when I was going to watch a football game, Coors Light was the thing I went with. Unless I wanted to get absolutely blotto, then I went with something stronger. Really want to yell at my dog who's barking outside. Anyway, football is supposed to be therapeutic to fans. It hasn't been for if you're a Michigan fan, but it still is uninterrupted me time, excuse to chill, and definitely an excuse to drink beer. Coors Light is the official beer of watching any sport or team, just to drink beer. So Coors Light, being the one that I used to choose when I needed to unwind, recognize that when you need to hit that reset button, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Second thing I got to talk to you about, I want you to break through your wall. Whether it's mental or a physical wall, break through it with Built Go every day. They're easy to take in 1.5-ounce packages. Put it in your briefcase for the most focused presentation ever, your golf bag to power through the back nine, or put it in your pocket to get through the day. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's a 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. Three delicious flavors, peanut butter, honey, chocolate, coconut, chocolate, mint. Well, how does Built Go work so well? Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into the system fast. Plus, it's easy on the stomach. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite my work and my workout. Beta-alanine, B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine. Built Go then kicks to keep me going strong with 10,000% of my daily vitamin percentage of B6 and B12. Plus, it's got collagen, which promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. The stuff literally makes you look better. Visit BuiltGo.com and use promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 30% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. All right, let's continue with my my brother in Disney, Mazin Brew editor Anthony Broom, who knows that, follow him if you don't already, at Anthony T. Broom, knows that I've been doing a James Bond marathon here recently, because both of us went out and bought the box set. So we're both brothers in Bond as well. He says, who is your favorite pre-Craig, as in Daniel Craig, James Bond? I don't think it's... I was going to say it's not even close, but it's probably kind of close. Sean Connery is incredible. The problem for Sean Connery is that those films, as entertaining as they are so dated, not just in the technology, but also in the... also certainly in just like the cinematography and the way that things are framed, right? Like the fighting scenes aren't nearly as engaging as like the Daniel Craig ones. If he would probably be 1A, 1B, although he was a victim of another thing, is Pierce Brosnan. Brosnan's Bonds fell off Beyond Tomorrow Never Dies, The World Is Not Enough, and Die Another Day, particularly, are abominations, in my opinion. They're terrible. But the first two are incredible, and I thought before Daniel Craig there was no way anyone could get better than Pierce Brosnan. So he suffers from weaker films. I currently have on Her Majesty's Secret Service paused right now. I'm looking on my TV and see George Lazenby's face. It's hard, especially because he had one Bond film, but it's hard for me to think of him as James Bond. And I don't care for Roger Moore's Bond at all. So there you go. Ryan Hall at 15BS Hall 97. What would be a quick fix to Michigan's running back personnel issue? Similar question from Eric Wood at Ewood 0529. Does Michigan have a realistic chance of winning, and is it possible for a running back to get over 10 carries? Michigan against Rutgers, yes, they absolutely have a realistic chance of winning. As far as the running back issue, I mean, I think Eric kind of nailed Brian's question. I think they need to get back into... Okay, there's two things. They need to get back into more of a two-back rotation. Pick two. Figure out and do like you did last year. I think that's a big thing. Secondly, don't get into giant deficits to begin every game. There's a reason why they stop running, and it's because they get into giant deficits like the last two games. They didn't, and part of the thing that hurt them against Michigan State was Hassan Haskins, only guy having success, they barely utilize him. It's again, guys being too smart for their own good. Pick two, run with that. No more of this, we're going to run all four. Sorry, probably sorry, Blake, and sorry. I mean, you can bring in Blake and Chris, but I mean... You got to get Charbonnet and Haskins more play because you know for a fact that they're better than what they've been given at this point. Brandon Carpenter at Big House Go Blue 1. Is it time for Fiery Harbaugh to make a comeback? I have a very simple answer to that. Absolutely. I've been wondering where it's been since the end of 2016. I know he thinks it hurts the team for, you know, him to be out there all fiery, getting penalties. I say do it. If it's going to mean a penalty here and there, whatever. Do it. Your team will get more fired up because they know you have their back. His team's played much harder for him in those first 2 years than we've seen since. And I think that that's not a knock on the 2017 or 2018 teams or even 2019. But, I mean, it's, you know, you follow the mentality of your head coach. And Harbaugh is just out there. He's just there. Be who you are. I don't care if it's a detriment every now and again, even if it's in the Ohio State game. Be who you are. Spencer Whitmore, at Spencer Whitmore. Tad of a different take, but keys to Indiana upsetting Ohio State. Sorry, but not fired up for a Rutgers game. That might be a loss. Fair enough. I would say if you're Indiana, Ohio State's had moments where they're defensively have broken down. Take advantage of that. Don't turn the ball over and get you're gonna have to be perfect. It's the same type of thing for Michigan when Michigan plays Ohio State. You're gonna have to play perfect. That means no turnovers, and you need to get at least one turnover. Probably not going to get it from Justin Fields. So you better force a running back or a wide receiver to fumble. I don't know the other thing. I've only really seen bits and pieces of Ohio State. I've seen more Indiana. Just don't make mistakes. That's really it. And just keep it close until it gets late. Ohio State's probably going to win no matter what anyway. But do kind of like the Penn State game. Get off the field when you can. Force them into long field goal situations. Keep it close down the stretch of the game. Force a few mistakes. That would be it. Robert at 35, Robert 16. Why does it take so long to bench a player? They put McNamara in the game last week and got a spark. Why don't they do that with guys like Seldon and Mullings, especially when this year doesn't count towards eligibility and those position groups haven't played well? By the way, I'm not advocating for players being benched. I'm just wondering why they do it with the QB, but the linebackers and corners get destroyed for three quarters, but they're still in there until the end. Part of it is that they already have a lot of inexperienced players out there that need the experience. That's part of it. When you go up and down talking defensively, you know, aside from Carlo Kemp, whoever is the other guy in the middle, whether it be Jeter or Christopher Hinton, haven't had a lot of time on task. Now at the you know, the one spot on defensive end where Aiden was, don't have a lot of time on task between Luigi Villain and Taylor Upshaw. Linebacker, Josh Ross has had some time on task, so yeah, I kind of feel like maybe you could see what Mullings or Nakai Hill-Green can do. But otherwise, I mean, Cam Agrone, he hasn't necessarily been struggling, so I mean, I think you just kind of keep it with him. I mean, he hasn't been as good as last year, but I would say he's been good, not great. So you keep him in there. Michael Barrett needs time on task. Jamon Green and Vincent Gray certainly need time on task. You want to build up their confidence. You know, Daxton Hill and Brad Hawkins have been fine for the most part, although Makari Page has been in there quite a bit. So looking at, you know, just what I said there, there's just not a lot of, you know, you need to get experience for the guys that you expect you'll have next year as well, if you're going to get better, because part of their issue is inexperience. Secondly, I mean, not everybody's ready to necessarily see the field, because like I said in the podcast 2 days ago, it can get worse. Plus, you don't want to ruin a guy's confidence by putting him out there and having it, like, you know, think if Michigan put Makari Page out there, which they did early against Minnesota out of necessity, and he did not look very good in his first game. I mean, he's getting a little bit better, it seems, as he goes out there. But you don't want to, you know, unless it's out of necessity, you don't want a guy to go out there, get experience, and just lose confidence if he's behind someone. You want to kind of work him in slowly regardless. And ideally, Michigan would have a lead and be able to work these guys in later in the games, but they haven't been able to do that. That's what I think is probably the case and the line of thinking. Whether it's right or wrong, I think that's kind of the line of thinking. TR at TR Roll or T Roll. 511, any chance Dylan McCaffrey changes his mind on transferring? Well, he hasn't put his name in the transfer portal, so anything's possible. Consider him more of an opt-out than a transfer at this juncture. Finishing us out in segment two, we got two that are similar. Kevin at Big Kev Hale and Fig Nation at J Fig Nation. That's interesting how that worked out. Kevin's was, if Don Brown goes at the end of the season, does the entire defensive staff go as well? Can we argue that any of them should remain on staff? And Fignation says, is it possible Harbaugh stays on the condition he brings a whole new defensive staff? Would the administration hire Will Muschamp? Here's what I think you do in this case. And you keep in mind, you know, you have Zordich, who's been around since the beginning. And listen, he's had amazing track record until this year. Whether, you know, despite, you know, people thinking sometimes that it hadn't been very, very good pass defense wise, I mean, they still were a top pass defensive unit up until this year. And Sean New is the other returnee because Bob Shoup is currently MIA. Brian Jean-Marie is in his first year with Michigan. So I would say that if Jim Harbaugh does stay, I mean, yes, you definitely need to do something completely different on the defensive side of the ball. But that doesn't necessarily mean brooming everyone. I say you keep Zordich. Maybe Nua, depending on their philosophy. I don't know. But, I mean, you certainly don't necessarily say it's a total broom job. You at least say goodbye to the defensive coordinator in this hypothetical and, you know, let that new defensive coordinator make some decisions whether or not they want to keep anyone or move on. Will Muschamp, I think that would be great because he's been great at defensive coordinator pretty much everywhere he's been. But we'll see what happens down the stretch because, I mean, it can improve. I'm not saying it will. It can. All right, we'll finish out. We've got a ton more left. We're going to roll right through those here momentarily. All right, finishing us out, we've got this next one's a 3-4, so I'll just ask them all in a row, and then we'll answer. Shane at Shaden_Baldwin91, if we lose to Rutgers, does Harbaugh get fired before the end of the year? Michael Morse at WolverineMorse2, this question has been on my mind since the conclusion of the Wisconsin game. Jacob Chavarria, or however you say it, at Jacob17213950. If Indiana wins out the regular season and wins the Big Ten championship, would Michigan go after Tom Allen? Listen, I still don't think Harbaugh gets fired. Barring losing out, and even then I'm not sure. It's I'm not saying he shouldn't be fired, but I don't think he will be. I think is the thing. Here's the deal with the season, right? It's a weird season. No non-conference, no spring. I know everyone's been, you know, had that. I do think it hurt Michigan more than any of us gave credit for. Thought they were definitely going to be better. Huge mea culpa on my end. But I think that, and it might mean you have to give them an extension, which might, if Michigan ends up being 1-8, I mean, that won't go over well. But you might have to give him a short extension to be able to keep the recruiting classes together. You know, have some kind of conditions in the buyout and say, basically, you got a year to turn this thing around, man. And I think that would probably be the right move. I think you look at changing things up on at the coordinator positions, depending on how this season finishes out. And then you go from there. I'm more inclined to have a leery eye towards the defensive side of the ball because Don Brown's been here longer. It's been regressing significantly since he arrived. And the offense is still, it's a lot of young players and a young coordinator. So the way I look at it would be maybe you get 2 more years to do it. New defensive coordinator, see how that works. If the defense starts looking better, offense doesn't, new offensive coordinator, if that doesn't work, then sayonara. I know people don't that are angry and fed up and have seen enough. That's not going to be good enough for them. That is, in my eyes, the prudent move. And when I say that's the prudent move, that's also what I'm pretty sure Michigan would do. I don't think Michigan's just going to cut bait and run. I just don't. Jeffrey the Greek at Jeffrey the Greek. He asked question 1 of 2. Who's really calling the plays, Khaki or Josh Gattis? June at June Mateo 05. Any chance Jim Harbaugh takes over play calling? Josh Gattis has been predictable after week one. So similar but different. Number one, I'm not 100 firm on this, but I would guarantee you it's Josh Gattis calling the plays. And is there any chance Jim Harbaugh takes over the play calling? I mean, it's possible he has more input down the stretch. And just to get things back on track, right? And I wouldn't hate it. Because he's had that experience, of course. And Gattis has been predictable after week one. But I know that before, I mean, it for sure, when everyone thought Harbaugh took over play calling, it was Josh Gattis. I know that for a fact. So, it's just another conundrum, unfortunately. Christopher at XFizz Adjunct. Given the very young nature of the offense, is Josh Gattis showing holes in his OC acumen by devoting too much time on fluff and not enough on fundamentals? In your opinion, is Gattis improved as the OC from day one at Michigan. I think he improved from his initial day one to the end of last year. Alabama game included, probably. Even though things didn't work, I thought there was a lack of execution. And, I mean, right to your point, I've been saying that there's too much foofery in all the pre-snap movements and different things of that nature, and this whole idea that Michigan's trying to trick the defense more than just run up and play against it. You have the weapons to go up, run up and play against pretty much every defense in the Big Ten, but you don't need to trick everybody. So I agree with you there, and I definitely think he is showing some holes, but it comes with the territory. You lose that many players, you've got a lot to work with. You've got to figure it out. So hopefully he does. I give him a little bit more leash because of that, though. Jim at Jim in the North, is the recent listlessness of the team an indication that Harbaugh has lost the team? Maybe a second question from Jim. It may be a really dumb question. With coordinators that have a great deal of control over the game plan and game day play calling, what does Harbaugh do day to day and on game day? Actually, that's a really smart question because I don't know. I mean, I would say probably big picture game plan stuff, big picture identity stuff. Coach the coaches. I really don't know. Your second question. And I've had that conversation with colleagues. I'm like, what does he do? I don't know. The recent listlessness, I don't know that it's necessarily that. I just think that's I think he's in danger of losing the team, but I think that's just a symptom of the situation. Of guys going out and trying to execute and having it not work and getting, you know, your brains bashed in. I think that's what the listlessness is coming from. Not necessarily losing the team, but I think it'll be the same thing. We'll either see Minnesota or we'll see the other games this next week, depending on, does Michigan actually get out to a fast start, take a lead? Then guys will start being like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, no, all right, this feels good. And they'll look a lot better and happier. But if they get punched in the mouth, early deficit, have to try to come back, I think that listlessness will return again. That's just the psychology of it. Matt Belsey at Belsey Matt, why did the defense visibly quit Saturday? Never witnessed anything like that in all my years watching Michigan football. I think Wisconsin just out-coached, out-schemed them. Lots of stuff they didn't expect. They didn't expect all those jet sweeps. They expected running up the middle. They were doing good against running up the middle until the end of the game. And I think that just Michigan's game plan versus Wisconsin's game plan just was not good. Guys got punched in the mouth. They were fed up. I think it's pretty much that. Jonathan Joseph at JJoseph2156. What's the difference between Harbaugh and Brian Kelly? Similar standards of school, both average around 10 wins. Have had a really bad season. Yes, Kelly made it to the BCS championship game, but with illegal players. Seems like patience with Kelly at ND has paid off. That's part of my thinking, and I've thought about that a lot. I mean, it was only a couple years ago. Was it the year that MSU went 3-9? Notre Dame went 4-8. And then 2 years later, they're in the college football playoff. So, yeah, you don't want to just cut bait and run just because of a bad season, necessarily. You say, hey, change things up, which is what happened with Brian Kelly. Completely changed up his coordinators. Things changed. Look where Notre Dame is now. No, I don't think they're elite, but, I mean, they still managed to beat Clemson, regardless if they didn't have Trevor Lawrence or not. DJ Uiagalelei is actually a really good player, just, again, kind of in that Joe Milton situation. Young player getting his first playing time, not transcendent talent. Everyone expects transcendent talent. I actually didn't get the Milton, or I didn't copy the Milton question, or maybe it was. So what I was going to say about Milton is I've gotten people asking about Joe Milton. I might not have copied. I might have just missed it. And if I missed you on this, I'm sorry. But we have one more question left, and I'm seeing that it's not on here. Because I saw someone say something about why is Milton terrible? Why did he, you know, is he hitting the floor? He's not hitting the floor. I mean, I'm going to try to find this. Not to call a guy out. But I know it's in here somewhere in my mentions. Oh, Zach Van Lente at Lente Zach. Who's more responsible for the quarterback development at Michigan, Ben McDaniels or Jim Harbaugh? And it's more, I'd say it's equal. part, if Milton's ceiling is so high, why is he hitting the floor? He's not hitting the floor. He had a bad game. He had a bad game. Was he great against MSU or Indiana? No. Was he serviceable? Absolutely. But he had a bad game against Wisconsin. One bad game. Showed he can throw the ball. Yeah, he threw 50 times, 51 times, or whatever it was for 300 yards against MSU. Didn't take that many to get to 300 yards against Indiana. But, again, the score being 21, you know. They got to work on finishing. Symptom of a young quarterback that's got the physical tools, got some of the mental tools. Just need to see it finish out. Just hasn't gotten there yet. You got to have a little bit of patience. One game doesn't equal you're done. One game does not equal floor. We'll see what happens this week. At the Tedalorian, I love the name. At TedMau5, love that too. Why is everyone obsessing over Matt Campbell? Because people think it's a foregone conclusion that Harbaugh's fired at the end of the year, and he's not. It's not. He's not. Maybe he comes back. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know the answer to that. I would, if I was to wager money, I'd wager that he's back next year. People are trying to figure out who the next guy is. If it's not Harbaugh, Matt Campbell has some wins over some top five teams. Harbaugh hasn't beaten anyone as a underdog in his tenure at Michigan. Matt Campbell has beaten several underdogs in his tenure at Iowa State. And you say, hey, if he can do it at Iowa State, he can do it here. It's not necessarily the case. People would said the same, you know, not many people, but some people said the same thing about Brady Hoke coming from Ball State and San Diego State. A lot of people would say the same of Charlie Strong before he went to Texas. There's no guarantees in this world when it comes to that. All right, that'll do it. We'll be back with the preview show tomorrow. It is me and Brandon Justice on Friday, sometime Friday afternoon. Look out for it. Previewing Rutgers. We'll talk to you then. Thanks for listening. Peace.